Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good, smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good, smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Today's episode trigger warnings are explicit sexual content.
And our cute little Spotify comment today comes from Una Lebjubisic. It says, I love your podcast. I'm from Serbia and they don't sell many books like these here. So your podcast is literally a lifesaver. I love y'all so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, wow. Luna. Thank you. So sweet.
All the way from Serbia? So nice.
I know. So cool. So cool.
And I had a homework assignment for everyone. For this episode, I decided since we are covering Mercy by Sarah Kate, since Sarah Kate herself has not patented a kink app to figure out what your kink is, I made everybody do a Google test to get their results. And I guess I'll go first.
Yeah, I was going to say it's only fair. You go first, Shelby.
I made you guys do it, so I'll go first. The test does give you a very long list of your percentages. So we are only doing the first five. Not surprising, my kink is 86% vanilla.
Wow.
And then we go to a 54% switch. So, you know, I like to switch it up a little bit.
Go, girl. Slap Tyler sometimes.
And then I go to a 52% experimentalist because I'll try anything once.
Okay.
And then I have 48% submissive and 35% voyeur, which I'm not surprised about the voyeur one.
No, we know you a little freak. Mine, I'm a little embarrassed about, but
don't be embarrassed. We're all friends here.
No kink shaming.
So my first one is 91% vanilla. Slay.
Get it, girl.
And then my next one is 90% submissive.
Okay.
And then 54% brat, which I had to look that one up. Brats are, in essence, naughty submissives. So I said, okay. And then I got rope bunny, which I also had to look up. But that's like you like to be tied up or restrained. And then I got switch.
Do you like to be tied up or restrained, Riley? You've never talked about it.
I'm very interested in it. Never have tried it.
Well, now you should. Now you that you
definitely
know.
Definitely should, girl. Do it.
So I am 92% submissive.
Sure. Okay. Whoa.
85% degradee.
Is that like you want him to be like, you piece of shit?
Dirty yeah. slut. You're my little slut.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to be like 90% vanilla. No. I am just shocked.
I'm an 83% rope bunny.
Oh, would love that.
Wow. One time I let Zach tie my arms up with his belt and I tore my rotator cuff. I had to go to urgent care and get a shot. I am a 75% brat.
Yes.
Oh.
And the fifth was a tie, 73% exhibitionist and voyeur.
Okay. Oh,
wow. It, no vanilla in there.
No.
Mine is, this is no shock to me, 94% brat, which I knew that. I am very much that. 94% experimentalist, which I did have to look that up too. And that does track. I am down for anything. I really don't care. You can hang me from the ceiling by my ankles. I will do it. 87% submissive. This is going to be a little controversial for Greg. 87% non-monogamous.
Go get you and Greg a girlfriend.
Yeah. Okay, polycule.
There were questions like, if you can't give your partner what they need, would you be okay with other people? And I was like, yeah.
Oh, I said, fuck no.
Like, if Greg was like, hey, I actually really like boys and I want a boy to fuck me, I'd be like, okay, well, I don't have a penis, so sure.
That's fair.
And then 80% rope bunny.
Okay.
So yeah, if you want to take the test, it's BDSMtest.org. Let us know what you get. And today's book is Mercy by Sarah Kate. And how many stars did you guys give it on Goodreads?
I gave it a 3.5. It was my least favorite one of the series so far. And not because of the characters or anything. It's just not my thing, clearly, from my test results.
Okay.
I also gave it a 3.5. I'm going to be controversial and say I don't like Maggie.
I don't know how I feel about her.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was a reread for me. And the first time that I read it, I gave it a 3 on Goodreads, which is very actually surprising. And this time I read it, just like a 3.5. I just have issues with this book.
Yeah. Yes. Also, in this book, I strongly dislike Emerson.
Oh.
Yeah. And I loved him in his book. But in this book, I was like, shut the fuck up, Emerson. We'll get there. I'm sure we will have many words when we get to the part that we're annoyed with.
It starts like all our other books. The gang is getting their weekly Thursday drinks when the idea of the sex club gets pitched. But we get kind of a different ending to this. Obviously, we're in Maggie's point of view. So as she leaves, Emerson begs her to think about the business venture because he can't imagine doing it without her. And she says that she'll think about it. And their friendship is like the longest standing friendship. They've been doing business together. Like, she just follows him at whatever job he goes to. And now we're going to Beau's POV. So if you remember, Beau is Emerson's son who dated Charlie.
Okay, yes.
Since Charlie got with his dad a year ago, he's been trying to win over Charlie's mom and sister. So now he drives Sophie to her D&D game, and he's like her partner in D&D, which I thought was very cute. He loses the game and wants to fight the game master, but keeps his cool. And on the way home, Sophie says that he needs to quit being a barbarian and be cool so he can come back next week to play. He's like, yeah, you're right. My bad. Maggie just bought a newer and bigger house, and she's regretting the purchase of it when Hunter knocks on the door. He can see she's upset, and she says she just feels sorry for herself. She switches the topic, though, and asks about Isabel and Drake, and if Hunter's nervous to be a dad. But as he's about to answer, Garrett shows up and announces that Emerson and Drake are on the way with the moving truck, so all the guys are there to help her move into this new house. When Emerson walks through the door in normal clothes, everyone makes fun of him, but then they turn silent when Beau comes in right behind him, because he's not usually there.
Okay.
But Maggie is speechless because she hasn't seen him in 5 years and he's looking real good as an adult.
Oh my god, is this a Maggie and Beau book?
I don't know.
I
didn't read it.
But she's very intrigued because she's like, this man can drink alcohol now.
Yeah, last time I saw him, he was a child, but now he's a man.
Which, that's...
Yeah.
Like, if I was friends with this person for a long time, like Emerson and Maggie have been, I don't think there would be any universe where I would be like, oh, now I want your kid.
That's issue one with the book.
Yeah.
They get to work unloading the moving truck, and after a while, all the girls arrive with food and drinks, and she goes to get Isabel a chair when Beau startles her. He helps her grab the chair from on top of the stack, and she sees like a sliver of his chiseled abs, and she's like, okay, thanks, bye. The girls ask why she doesn't date anyone or why she's never taken the kink quiz, and then they force her to take it, making a drinking game of how many times she says no to one of the questions. When they get to a particular question, she hesitates.
Does the idea of inflicting pain on others excite you? The wine is making my brain fuzzy, but the more I think about it, the idea of marking someone up just to see them in pain is intoxicating.
Oh.
It's her first maybe on the quiz.
Hey, Maggie.
They continue answering most of the questions with no. When a question that says withholding your partner's pleasure, she hesitates. And Mia's like, oh my god, that's so much fun. And Maggie's like, put maybe. They finish the quiz with a lot more maybes and even a couple yes questions, and she finally finishes it. Emerson interrupts, and she notices that Beau is watching her, but everyone leaves, and she runs back to the kitchen to see her test results. Dominant, master mistress, and brat tamer.
Okay.
She laughs because she's like, this app is a fucking joke. Like, I have never been into those things and I never will be. Beau is on his way out the door to have lunch with Emerson when he spots someone spray painting his car. He approaches them and they take off. And when he reads it, it says, "Get out, pervert," and that they taped an article to his front door. It's a petition to close down the pervert club owned by Mr. Grant. When he gets to his dad's, Emerson apologizes profusely about the car and admits that every single person that works at the club has been getting threats, but no one's done any vandalism yet. His dad says that he'll pay to get it fixed and they go to lunch. It's kind of an awkward lunch, and then it gets even more awkward when Emerson tells Beau that he wants to marry Charlie.
Well, I mean, they're already dating.
She's gonna be his stepmom.
I know, that's crazy.
Beau gets a little upset about it, but after processing it, he's like, "You don't have to ask me for my blessing, but I don't understand why you would want to get married again. Like, clearly your first marriage failed." Later that day, Beau is at his friend's house getting high, and someone new is hanging out with them and mentions the Salacious Players Club app and starts being a really gross pig about it. Like, he just tells the women on the app that he's into that so he could fuck them and then leave. Beau is really upset about this and he leaves his friend's house, but he decides that he's a little too curious and he pulls the app up for himself. As he walks home, he takes the quiz and he has his results. Brat, experimental, and submissive.
Oh,
it is me. I am Beau.
He laughs at his results and then his phone pings with the match. The match reads dominant, master, mistress, and brat tamer. He's like, "I will never contact them." So he closes the app and gets home. As Maggie gets ready for work, her app dings with one new match in her area. She clicks on it and sees that it's some generic name and it's a 22-year-old male. She sees that his bio reads, "This is stupid," and she's kind of intrigued, so she messages him. During her work meeting, he messages her back and they banter for a few minutes until she starts giggling and the whole meeting pauses because she's just like, hee hee hee.
Oh my goodness. And she's just messaging Beau.
The scandal.
The meeting finishes and Mia rushes over her to demand if that was someone in the app. She says yes, and Mia is also like, "So is it someone that's going to help you figure out your dom kink?" She didn't tell the girls what her results were, but Mia is very observant, and obviously she's very vocal about what she likes. So she's like, "I already knew that. You kind of have to take control of everything. Like, are you going to go for it?" And Maggie's like, "Maybe."
Do it, Maggie.
Maggie can't help but think that once her results get out, she's going to be made fun of. And I stopped at this part and I was like, "Bitch, you work at a kink club. Why would anybody make fun of you?"
Yeah, you have a guy that's like dating his stepsister. You got a guy that is fucking his son's ex-girlfriend.
You have a polycule happening.
Yeah, like, chill out, bitch.
Yeah, you're not quirky. Nothing's different about you, girl.
She goes to her office and continue to talk to the mystery guy. They flirt a little bit and then he doesn't respond to her very honest text of how maybe he can't admit that he wants a woman to dominate him, because he's just like saying how stupid that quiz was and there's no way that a woman could ever dominate, blah blah blah. And she's like, "Maybe you just can't admit that." This part always weirds me out, but Beau is at family dinner with Charlie, Sophie, their mom, and his dad. I don't know why they're trying to pretend that they're some happy family.
Yeah.
Just stop.
I'd feel very awkward if I was Charlie's mom.
Yes.
Yeah.
The whole time he's at dinner, he thinks about what the mystery woman said in the app and knows she's right, but he's not sure how to respond to it. He notices the ring on Charlie's finger for the first time, and now his stomach is in knots. Like, he's like, "I'm fucking over this." Later that night, he messages the mystery woman back saying he doesn't mind a woman being in control and he wants to prove it to her. She replies immediately and says that she's not trying to date someone. And then he says,
"I'm not talking about a date. I'm talking about fucking, just a hookup. You'll be in control. You can tell me to do whatever you want. Use me. You want me to lick your pussy for 2 hours straight? I will. You want to strap me to your bed and ride my dick like a bicycle? You can."
She suggests meeting at Salacious and he freezes because he doesn't want her to know that his dad owns the club. And I just put LOL in capital letters.
Yeah. She gon' know.
She suggests the masquerade night so their identities are still hidden and she can rent a room. We fast forward a little bit. It's the night of his dad's engagement party and he agrees to going, knowing that he's gonna skip the last half of it to go get laid. As he messages the mystery girl that day, he tells her to watch some porn to get ideas. She tells him not to chicken out and he's like, "I won't." Maggie is doing what he suggested and is watching porn for homework to see what she likes. So she scrolls through a bunch of stuff that she's like, "I can't pull that off. I definitely don't think I would want to do that, until she gets to one video in particular. The man kneels between his mistress's knees as she leads him around the room like a pet. Then she bends him over the desk, spanks him, and pulls out a strap-on. And she's like, oh, I could do that.
She says, that looks fun.
She's obviously seen pegging before at the club, but never thought about herself doing it. And now she is hella soaked. As she gets ready for tonight, she thinks about how she's not going to sleep with him. They should take things slow, set some ground rules. She grabs her masquerade mask and heads to the engagement party. When she arrives, she's not quite ready to go in, and Bo startles her, admitting that he's not ready to walk in either. So they decide to walk in at the same time. They're both sulking at the party together, and Bo can't help but think that if Maggie didn't dress like a grumpy virgin, she might actually be hot.
What is a grumpy virgin dress like?
Yeah, what the fuck?
I picture like a 80-year-old librarian.
Like Mandy Moore in that movie.
Oh yeah, Walk to Remember.
A Walk to Remember. That's what okay. She was wearing.
But she just has to take her glasses off and then she's hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone comes up and she starts talking to them, shaking their hand, and Bo is feeling a little jealous about this. He learns that the gentleman is the club's attorney, and he can't tell why, but he doesn't like this guy at all. There's something about him. They chit chat a bit longer, and then Bo finds himself alone and leaves shortly after 9:30. Maggie arrives at the club, gets changed into her sexy outfit with her white feathered mask. She slips into the main room looking for her mystery man. And the way that they decided that they're going to find each other is on her mask, she's going to draw a D for Dom. And then on his mask, he's going to have an S for sub. And they're like black light, so you can still see them in the dark. She feels guilty, like she's exploiting the club, even though everyone else who owns it uses it. And I was like, why? Why do you feel this way? It's your fucking club.
Yeah, utilize it. Yeah.
I think it's because she's a woman and we just feel guilty about everything.
As she waits and looks around, she has a feeling she's getting stood up because 9:30 passes and he's still not there. And then she finally sees him, the mask with the letter S on the other side of the room. He's beautiful. Beautiful, tall, tan, and when he notices her, they pause and stare at each other.
He could be absolutely fugly under that mask. You don't know.
The masquerade mask always cracks me up, though, because, like,
you know damn well who that is under there.
Yes. Yes.
It's like a Cinderella story. Like, you're trying to tell me you do not know that's Hillary Duff?
Yeah. I know. I'm like, okay, that's Chad Michael Murray right there. You fucking know that.
Yeah. He approaches, and since it's super loud, they have to lean in to talk to each other, and she doesn't recognize his voice, so she's, like, totally cool about that.
Again, how?
Maybe he does, like, a Batman voice.
Hey, I'm the Batman. I'm your sub.
He admits that he's been looking forward to this the whole week, and she's like, I need to get you to that room right now. They get to the only available room, and it's room 12, which is the dark room from the last book.
Oh.
And she feels a lot better about this since they can just talk and touch. He steps up behind her and starts stroking her breasts and then whispers,
what else do you want me to do? You're in charge, remember?
She tells him to lift her dress, and when he does, she guides his hand toward her panties. She feels how hard he is behind her, and she's even more turned on now. She instructs him on how she wants to be fingered until she comes, and when she does come, she tells him not to move. He tells her, yes, ma'am. And even though she can't see him, his voice is way too familiar now. And she's like, it can't be Bo. He's at the party. But it's nagging at her. So now she's like, no, 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 no. She's like fumbling for the lights to turn them on. She gets them turned on and they are both shocked.
Aww.
No way.
But Bo isn't freaking out the way Maggie is. She's having a borderline panic attack. And he's like, this won't go further. Like, I'm so sorry. I didn't know it was you. And she tells him that no one can fucking know about this and he needs to leave. So he does.
Maggie.
He barely sleeps, and the next day he goes to Maggie's house to apologize. When she answers the door, he's looking at her completely different now, and she does not want to accept his apology, but it really bugs him. He tells her that last night was amazing, and then he pounces and he kisses her as he slams her door shut.
Wow, Bo.
He pushes her up against the wall like he did last night, and when they break apart, she says that he should not have done that.
Then punish me for it. Do it, Maggie.
Do it, girl.
She tells him that they can't do this, and he says that he doesn't care. She kisses him again and then stops to be like, no, no, we really can't. And I'm like, bitch,
just do it.
She turns away and he's not sure how to voice how much he wants her, so he does it with actions. He gets on his knees and tell her that he can be submissive. He's willing to do whatever she wants to try to figure this thing out between them. She tells him, fine, they can learn the dynamic together, but two rules, no sex and absolutely no one can know. She tells him that anyone asks why he is at her house all the time, it's because she hired him to help with house repairs and he starts tomorrow at 9 a.m. He smiles and goes to leave, but she tells him that he can't come unless she says so. No masturbating, no nothing. She also tells him that if he's good tomorrow, he'll get a reward, and then he leaves. Later that night, she's at the club, and she meets with Eden to ask her how this whole dom thing works. And you remember Eden, right? Madam Kink.
Yes.
As Eden tries to give her some advice, Charlie walks up, and it's kind of awkward, but Eden tells Maggie that maybe Charlie can help since she's literally a sub.
Can you tell me how to fuck your ex-boyfriend, please?
She gets really great perspective from both women, and she gets the BDSM checklist from Charlie. So you remember how Emerson had her fill out what she would be okay with, what she wouldn't be okay with. So she gets that so she can give it to Beau.
But remember when Beau saw it and he freaked the fuck out?
But Maggie doesn't know that happened. Uh-huh. And Charlie doesn't know that she's about to give it to Beau.
Uh-uh. That's true.
Crazy.
At 3 a.m., she sends it to Beau and he's up. So she tells him to cross off what he is or not willing to do. He asks what she would do if he jerked off right now. And she replies,
I'd have no choice but to lock up your cock in a cage until you learn.
Lock it up.
Cage that dick.
Beau tells her that he's a bit scared of her after that, but he'll listen and do the homework. And she goes to bed excited for the first time, and she can't even remember how long. The next day, Maggie is looking over the list, and she doesn't think that he's going to take it seriously, but he promises it is. Those are his actual real answers. So they're going over the list together, and she's just like, are you just fucking marking whatever ones you want? He's like, no, like, I'm being serious. They come up with a safe word. It's mercy. And she tells him she wants this to be exclusive because it's important for her to trust him, and he agrees.
I'm going to use you, Beau. In fact, when you're here, you're not Beau anymore. We are not friends or lovers or acquaintances. You are my property to do whatever I want with. And if you deserve it, I'll punish you. It will hurt. And I'll try to make sure you don't enjoy it. But if you earn it, I'll reward you. And I'll make sure you do like it. Okay, Maggie. She, like, just found out this is, like, what her kink is. And now she's like, I'm gonna fucking use you. We're not lovers. We're not friends.
He says, yes, ma'am. She asks if he was good last night. And he's very prideful when he says yes. So she gives him a reward and starts stroking his dick over his shorts and then grabs it. She calls him a good boy. And he's eating this shit up. He loves it. She drops to her knees and pulls his dick out, giving him the best blowjob he's ever had, but stops right before he comes.
Ugh.
She does this over and over again, and then when he begs her not to stop, she does and tucks his dick back into his shorts. She tells him she's serious about this and he didn't deserve to come as a reward for following one simple rule. He wants to talk back to her, but doesn't. She walks away to her office and he follows. She is hella soaked, but she's like, I'm not going to do anything about this. She tells him to get on his knees and crawl to her. So he does. She has him kneel and tells him this is how she wants him every time he's over until she says otherwise. She asks how he's doing with everything and he says that he's good. He's really good. They break the scene and she offers him a real job as a handyman. And he wants to know if it's while he is her sub. And she's like, if that's what you want, but I'm going to actually pay you and I'm not paying you for sex. Like, let's make this clear. He then asks if he needs to live there with her. And she's like, no.
She says, hell no.
And he is kind of disappointed, but she does tell him that he can stay whenever he wants. He does his research that night about being a sub when Charlie texts him asking if she can come over. He says that's fine, and 5 minutes later, she pulls up. She asks him to please go easy on his dad, and he starts to be really childish and mean to her, but she tells him to try because his dad loves him so much, and it's killing him not having a relationship with him. After she leaves, he does the one thing he wants to do and jerks off, knowing that he's going to get punished. And then he takes a video and sends it to Maggie.
Oh, I was going to say, I mean, he wouldn't get punished. She wouldn't know, but never mind.
No, he's a brat. She's got to find out.
That's true.
Maggie is in a late business meeting with Emerson, Garrett, and Hunter when her phone goes off. And you guessed it. She opens up a video of Beau jerking off and moaning while his dad is literally three seats down. As the meeting ends, she goes directly to Eden to get some advice on her out-of-pocket sub. Eden's like, girl, he's acting out because he wants his ass handed to him. Punish him. They brainstorm ideas, and then Eden perks up and tells Maggie to follow her to the little sex shop that's inside the club. Eden picks out a black silicone butt plug, and it's for Beau. There's a remote control, and Maggie will make him come so many times he'll never want to come again.
Oh.
She's like, oh, you want to come? Got it.
You about to.
You're going to keep coming. She texted Beau, I hope it was worth it, and he texted her back, do your best, ma'am.
Okay, Beau.
Beau woke up from a text from Maggie with her door code and instructions to let himself in and strip down to his chonies. He's to be inside her office at 9 a.m. on the dot, in position, and to not be late. He's giddy with anticipation on what his punishment will be. When she finally calls him over, she asks Beau if he had fun last night, and for a moment he almost lied. But he does want to build trust between them, so he told her the truth. No, he didn't. When she asked him why he did it, he said, because I'm a bad boy.
I'm just a brat.
She's like, guess what? If you want to come so much, it's your lucky day. I'm going to shove this butt plug in your ass and you can come as many times as you want. And he's like, oh, okay. After trying and failing to relax, it's finally in, and the foreign feeling feels weirdly good to him. He pulls his chonies back up, and she's like, great, now that that's settled, go paint my living room, and don't bother me until it's done. He starts walking away, and she's like, oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you, I can control it, and then turns it on, and he literally drops to his knees with the instant urge to come.
Sometimes the vibrations are short and pulsing, and sometimes they're longer and intense. I get that little lightning burst orgasm every time, but it's never enough. When she hits me for the 20th time in less than an hour, I can't take it anymore. In desperation, I dropped the brushes and wrapped my paint-splattered hand around my cock and stroke until I come for real, filling my palm and finally feeling a moment of relief from an actual orgasm. But it doesn't last long. Before I even get a chance to breathe, she hits me again, and it's an unwelcome, torturous feeling. My orgasm relieved the arousal, but my dick is still hard, and there is still this thing in my ass reminding me that my punishment is far from over.
And he's just using paint as lube.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Our girl is vicious with the toy. It's going nonstop, and he's yelling at the top of his lungs for her to stop and, like, basically cursing at the winds. But he's not using his safe words, so she just keeps going. Beau takes the punishment because he knows it's what he deserves. He's finally finished painting the room, and Maggie orders him to take his cum-soaked chonies off and to get in the shower, but to leave the butt plug still in. He's been, like, cumming in his pants, like, in his underwear while he's painting the walls.
Oh my God.
It sounds awful.
I bet you it's like the worst paint job.
Actually, she said it looked beautiful.
Yeah, she said that he did a really good job, actually.
She washes his chonies and joins him in the shower, using the toy once more and jerking him off to get him one more orgasm before taking the toy out for good. She takes care of him and lets him lay on her bed while she dries him off. She gets him something to eat and drink and gives him praises the whole time. As assertive as she wants to be with Beau, she also wants to tell him that he was punishing himself just as much, but the words were stuck on her tongue. It's Charlie's bridal shower, and it's been 2 weeks since the orgasm 500. Those were the actual words in the
book. Those are the actual words.
Oh, I was like, okay, Jenna.
Maggie and Beau aren't hanging out together this time at the party, and it's just to not raise suspicion that there's something going on between them. A woman named Caitlin, who's Charlie's cousin, approaches Beau, and she's beautiful. She starts chatting up a storm, and then Beau realizes that she's actually flirting with him. Maggie's glaring at him, and he's like, oh, this is gonna be fun. So he decides to flirt back. He's openly flirting with Caitlin at the party, winking, making jokes, and making her laugh loudly. And in Beau's peripheral, he can see Maggie glaring at him. She's pissed. He takes a stray piece of Caitlin's hair and tucks it slowly behind her ear. And Caitlin asks if he wants to go on a walk with her. And Maggie's had enough. She storms off into the house, and Beau's like, gotta go, bye, and then storms after Maggie.
I would never want to get punished again after the orgasm 500. I would be on my best behavior.
He's a brat. He wants to.
I know. Yeah. See, this is why I did not have those results.
Yeah.
I would at least need some, like, time in between.
No, he says, round two.
In his search for Maggie, he feels a strong tug on his arm, and he's hauled into the bathroom, then locked in with her. She's like, what the fuck are you doing? Who was that? He's smug as heck, knowing that he got under her skin. He's like, oh, that? That's just Charlie's cousin. What, are you jealous? She's like, no, there's nothing to be jealous of because nothing will happen. You are mine. And then kisses him. She whispered in his ear, I think I like hurting you, Beau. And he says, then take me home and hurt me more. They get back to the house, and Beau's in his sub position and completely naked. Maggie makes him crawl to her. So he does, and his face is right in front of her waist now. She's in just her bra and thong, and then she commands him to take her underwear. underwear off.
You're going to use that mouth of yours to make me come. But first, I want to hear you say it again. Tell me who you belong to. His grin is almost wolfish as he replies, I'm yours. Good. Now don't come up for air until I pull you up. Understand? Yes, ma'am, he whispers.
Real quick, just picturing a full-grown man crawling naked gives me the ick.
Yeah, just butthole out to the wind, dick swinging.
It also gives me the ick. So I think that's like why it's just not my thing.
I could be down.
Yeah, that's why you're a switch.
Yeah.
She has an earth-shattering orgasm and then decides it's finally his turn. Of course, he can't come until she says he can. He was already on the verge, and then she enforced the Gluck Gluck 3000. Just before he comes, she stops and tugs on his balls painfully to stop him from coming.
Oh, okay. She goes, eh.
She commands him to get on the bed, and then she ties his arms above his head. She gives him head again, and just as he's on the brink of orgasm, he calls her Maggie. And she's like, pardon the fuck out of me. What did you just call me?
My name's not Maggie right now.
It's ma'am.
It's ma'am.
And as his punishment, he has to watch her come. She pulls out her wand and has an orgasm right in front of him. Finally, she's like, I guess it's your turn now, but only if you beg.
Please, ma'am, please. I'm begging you. I'll be good. I just want to come. And where do you want to come? In my mouth? On my face? She runs her tongue along the length of my cheek before whispering in my ear. Or deep inside me. Fuck, I'm going to lose it. A long rumbling aches against my throat as it makes my way out. Wherever you want, I'll do whatever you want. Like such a good boy, she replies. I watch as she reaches back, and when I feel her hand wrap around my dick, I nearly lose it again. The head of my cock nudges against the warmth of her wet cunt, and I hold my breath, afraid she's just teasing me again. Look at me, beau, she says in her raspy, lust-filled tone. As our eyes meet, she slowly settles her weight, and as her pussy swallows my cock, I lose the ability to breathe. Before I know it, she's fully seated, and we are joined completely. I am inside of her, and it's never struck me so powerfully as it does in this moment. With her, I have no control, no ability to move or thrust, and not because she has me restrained, but because she's in charge, and I wouldn't dare move without her permission. So he's just a pillow princess?
They come together in a throw of passion. From their laying together, Maggie tells Beau that this was the first time she's ever came during sex. She was brought up in a very conservative household, and sex was always looked down on and shamed. And especially her having more specific tastes, when she had sex, she never had the courage to speak up for what she wanted. Beau kind of makes a comparison to his situation with his dad and Maggie's situation from home, where when he found out that his dad started the app in the club, he thought it was the coolest thing until he found out it was a sex club. And then he thought that his dad was a pervert and a creep because of what his mom was telling him, and he shamed his dad. And he has like a character development moment where he says that people judge what they don't understand, and it's not an excuse, it's just a fact, but he's starting to understand where his father's coming from. Maggie's at the sex shop in Salacious, and her eyes keep going back to a certain item. Items that mean a great deal of commitment. And what that item is, you ask? A collar.
Oh.
As she's staring longingly at these collars, wishing Beau could and would 100% be faithfully hers, Emerson walks up behind her, telling her that they got a Phoenix deal. He drops the bomb that he would like her to consider running the Phoenix location, and she's completely caught off guard, and he's like, it's not anything long term, just temporary until they find someone permanent. All she could think about though was Beau. She low-key snaps at Emerson, and he's like, what the heck is going on with you? She's always put her work first. So he's like, did I do something to upset you? You can run this however you want. This project would be completely yours, and I have all the faith in you. She apologizes for her outburst and promises that she would consider it. He looks at the collars that she's looking at, and he's like, what you looking at? And she's like, oh, inventory. And he's like, yeah, okay, well, I heard that the ones that snap in the back are more comfortable. And then he's like, just so you know, like, I heard you girls in the kitchen when you were taking the quiz. I know you well enough to know what you placed. If you ever want advice, I'm here. And she quickly shuts him down, because obviously she does want to go to him because Emerson's one of her longest friends, but that's literally Beau's dad.
That's his daddy.
She's his daddy now.
Yes, she is. Yeah.
Maggie gets home later and asks Beau to come over. He does, and she doesn't want to play Dom tonight. After the stressful day, she just wants to relax. He pulls up in a different car, and when she asks what happened to the other car, he told her that he was driving his dad's, and this car is actually his real one. It was in the shop because it got vandalized, and she's like, next time this happens, happens. Don't engage. Call the cops. He was kind of taken back by her seriousness, but was like, yeah, of course. Since they're not playing dom sub, the second that they're inside, Beau is ravishing her and worshiping her. They don't even make it to the room. They end up fucking on the couch, and she's getting the ever-loving fucked out of her. She's never had sex like this, and they both come, and she realizes that she's definitely falling for her friend's son. Hard and fast, just like the sex they just had.
Wow.
She tells Beau about the Phoenix offer. It would be a temporary solution for just about 6 months. She tells him that he would have to find another dom while she's gone. Because he's a little bitch and can't handle his emotions, he lashes out. He tells her that he doesn't give a shit and he's not finding another dom. This was only an experiment and he's nothing like his dad. This lifestyle is not for him. He's not going to be her bitch all the time. He's just doing this for the sex.
Okay, Beau, where's the emotional intelligence?
There is none.
He doesn't have any.
Maggie tells him, just admit that you like being a sub. And he's like, no. She's like, fine, let's switch it up a little bit tonight. I'll be the sub. And he's like, no, girl, I do not want to be a dom. Like, I'm not doing this. But she is not taking no for an answer. She literally doesn't care. She's like, I don't care what you have to say, even though he repeatedly says that he does not want to do this and that he's not in the mood. Something snaps in him, though, and he's like, fuck it. I'm just going to degrade you and hurt you. And she's like, okay, cool. And I really, really despise this part of the book because, yes, he didn't use his safe word during this conversation, but they're not playing yet. Like, they were having a conversation of doing this and he repeatedly said no, like he was not in the mood, he didn't want to do it, and she still pushed him.
Yeah,
no means no.
No, mercy means no.
So he's jamming his dick down her throat and he is like completely hates himself. She calls him sir and he grips her hair back so hard and he's like, don't ever call me that. He gets her to on all fours and he jams himself into her. He's literally like completely numb. He feels filthy and shameful. He does end up coming, but he instantly feels regret and feels like shit. And he feels like disgusted with himself that he just treated her like that. He pulls out of her and calls his safe word 3 times. She's next to him in an instant asking him what happened. And he's like, what do you mean? Aren't you completely disgusted? And she's like, no, that was kind of hot. Also, another issue, if someone is using their safe word, the last thing you should probably say was that was hot. Because obviously they just got pushed to their limit.
Yeah, yeah. He was like an emotional breaking point. And she's just like, I liked it.
Yeah. She's like, cry. I want to see you cry.
She does make a good point, though, by saying that the shame that he's feeling right now about their sex and what he was thinking isn't his fault because someone else put that shame in his head. And it's okay to have different thoughts and different kinks that aren't vanilla. And there's nothing wrong with him.
That is a good point. But also, she doesn't need to be so, like, aggressive in her approach. Because also, like, this is new to both of them. And I feel like they are moving very quickly. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like they didn't really introduce it to themselves. Like, oh, let's try this small thing first and let's try this. They said, we're going to try everything all at once. Bah!
So he's having a full-on mentee bee and it circles back to his mommy and daddy issues. And Maggie says, don't worry, baby. You're safe with me because I'm your new mommy.
Maggie.
Beau wakes up to Maggie and they have some morning sex. And then the rest of the day goes by and they're still having sex. They've cocooned themselves into a little sex bubble and they've completely ignored the outside world. Beau's phone starts ringing and they're about to ignore it, but then Maggie sees that it's Charlie. He answers it and Charlie immediately starts giving him the fifth degree on why he's ignoring Sophie, and apparently she's been texting him all day and he missed her invitation to D&D. He calls Sophie back and he's like, I'm so sorry. Get ready. I'll take you out to ice cream. He tries to invite Maggie, but she's like, I can't go out with you. If anyone sees, I'm embarrassed of you. Like, sorry, but can't go. He picks up Sophie and they go to ice cream and she tells Beau that she has to quit D&D because the kid Kyle that she was seeing is probably going to break up with her. And as they're eating ice cream, none other than Kyle walks in with another girl.
Fucking Kyle.
Beau says, oh, hell no. And he has so much anger built up that he rushes over to Kyle and picks up the little scrawny motherfucker by his collar and starts yelling in his face. Sophie's screaming at him to stop and he tells Kyle that he's a slimy piece of shit. He's just projecting all of his emotions onto Kyle.
Yeah, because he used to cheat on all his girlfriends and everything. So he's like, I know you because I am you, you motherfucker.
Yeah. Yeah. And when he puts Kyle down, Kyle surprisingly punches Beau straight in the face.
I mean, rightfully so, I think.
He's also beefing with the high schooler, but yeah.
Yeah. Probably not the best thing to do.
There's a knock at Maggie's door and she opens it to a bruised and bleeding Beau and he gives her the rundown of what happened. The whole fight made him realize that he's literally a grown-up version of Kyle and he's having a major pity party for himself. He tells her sooner or later he'll probably cheat on Maggie too. He self-sabotages and that's what he does. He literally said that. He's like, I'll cheat on you.
Yeah. He says, I'm a cheater. And guess what you're you can expect it from me.
He's like, I want you to punish me. And she's like, homeboy, that's not how this works. If you want to feel better about your actions, maybe you should try apologizing to the people that you fucking hurt. He's literally begging her to hurt him. And she's like, no, I'm not doing that. He calls her a shitty fucking dom. And she just wanted to fuck someone young and hot. And that she's fucking stupid for trying to see the best in him. And then he turns and slams the door and leaves.
Ew.
Get it together.
A man child.
She's instantly sobbing because she thought she could fix him. And then not even 5 minutes later, a little pathetic knock on her door.
Knock, knock, knock.
Yeah, he's like, hey, mom, will you let me back in?
Mommy.
She opens the door and he's instantly hugging her and apologizing. He's like, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. I don't even know why I said it. I just wanted to hurt you. And she's like, it's okay, baby. Mommy make you feel better.
Ew. He said, uppies.
Maggie and Mia are lingerie shopping and she's not super comfortable with her body, but she does find a cute little sexy piece and decides to get it. After the store, they're back at the club and she goes to Eden for advice. She wants to legitimately punish Bo, but she doesn't know where to start. So Eden tells Maggie that if she experiences the pain firsthand, it might help her inflict it. So she says, let's do it. She went through multiple different toys and it was more painful than she thought, but she knows that Bo can take it. So she's excited to punish him.
How do you know that someone can take it?
I think it's like how cops have to get pepper sprayed and tased. Yeah. Okay. So before they do it, they know how it feels so you don't go overboard. You can like empathize.
Okay, okay.
So it's the weekly masquerade club and they're going there so Bo can be punished. As they get in the club, they get to the little sex shop and they're looking around and Maggie points out a little black strap-on and she's like, this is nice. And he's like, what do I need that for? I already have a dick. And she's like, yeah, but I don't. And winks. They get to their room and Maggie takes off her robe and Bo freezes.
Her tits are flowing out of the top of a black corset that is cinched around her waist, giving her a full hourglass figure. Below the corset, she has on black lace panties with little clips that are holding up black stockings. On her feet are black stiletto heels that I would gladly let her step on my face and I'd still say thank you.
As he lays on the bed, she binds his wrists and legs to the bedpost and then she starts paddling him and he's loving it. It's painful, but it's just what he needs. He takes 12 hits and then he's done with the paddle. He's painfully hard and Maggie's extremely wet. By the third swing of the crop, he almost wants to stay yellow, which is take a break or slow down, but he refuses to back down. He's completely breaking down as he continues to count. He's only doing 6 with the crop and at the 5th one, he's crying out, but it still says his color is green and that everything is good, giving her the okay to keep going. In his head, he's going through all of the horrible moments and how he's treated Charlie, his cheating, judging every person that was interested in the club. On the 6th swing, he doesn't even want it, but he knows he has to take it for himself. When it's all done, the bed sheets are soaked with his tears and sweat, and Maggie's praising him over and over until he actually starts to believe it. Maggie's so proud of Bo. She loves being his dom. Bo tells her he doesn't want her to leave, so she's like, come with me. And immediately he says, okay. They have sex, and he tells her that he would do anything for her. Whatever she wants, he'll do it. And he's like, I'm serious. And she's like, why do you keep saying that? And then it dawns on her.
He's telling me what he wants. In bed, he wants me to fuck him. The ultimate act of submission, the one thing that takes the most trust, the most vulnerability, and right now, in his post-scene haze, I shouldn't hold him to it, and I won't. This is the worst time to make commitments or promises. I won't even hold him to the Phoenix arrangement if he decides it's too soon, but I can't deny the fact that this could be amazing.
Today is the rehearsal dinner for Charlie and Emerson's wedding, and Maggie got him a gift. It's a wire-shaped dick that's hollowed on the inside, and it's a, literally a cage.
Oh.
Since they're going to be around people and she can't be his dom this weekend, he might need something to remind him that he belongs to her. The point of the cage is that he can't get hard. They get to the rehearsal dinner, and Emerson and Bo have a cute little moment where Emerson tells Bo that he's really glad that he's here and it means a lot to him. Emerson says something's changed with Bo, and he asks if it's someone that he's been seeing. Of course, he says no, but he says that he's just been trying to not focus on things that used to make him mad and is trying to care about the people who will make him want to be better. Everyone's out to dinner now and they're all sitting together at the table. Mia's on one side of Maggie and Bo's on the other. Everything in her just wants to comfort Bo because obviously he's looks so uncomfortable with like his dad and Charlie like making out and shit. But every once in a while there's stolen glances and forbidden touches, but that's it. There's a moment insinuated where Maggie has a Bo, ironic because it's Bo, and he can tell that she's very uncomfortable, so he tells a joke which is severely out of character for him. and it takes the pressure off of Maggie completely. Beau leaves, and then 30 minutes later, Maggie leaves too. And when they get to her house, they have sex again. Shocker. But this time when they have sex, there's obviously something very different. It is extremely passionate, and he's even taking charge. But she doesn't care because she feels like there's so much love between the two of them and that she wants to tell him that she loves him, but she doesn't out of fear. It's the day of the wedding, and he finds himself in front of Charlie's house. He came to apologize, and he basically just said, if my dad is the one that makes you happy, then I accept it, and I'm really sorry that I treated you like shit, and you never deserved that. He gets back to Maggie's house, and Maggie looks beautiful. Maggie says, hey, quick idea for after the wedding. Maybe we can go back to the club after, and I could peg you. And he says, bet, anything for you. Maggie and Beau walk down the aisle together, and the second that their arms meet, she feels relaxed and comfortable, and she knows that Beau is her person. Everyone's looking at the bride and groom, and they're looking at each other. That is until she feels another pair of eyes on her. Hunter's looking at her with curiosity in his eyes. After the wedding, they're at Emerson and Charlie's house for the reception, and she's planning on what she's gonna do to bring him to the club. A conversation brings her back to reality when she hears Garrett say that Fitz took care of the protester that's been outside of the club harassing them. Apparently, he found some dirt on them and is able to keep them at bay for a while, but she's scared that it might backfire. Beau asks Maggie for a dance, and she agrees, and she says, I'm horny. Meet me inside in 10 minutes. She follows the way Beau took, and lo and behold, it's to Emerson's office. He throws her against the wall, and then he drops to his knees.
The closer he brings my body to climax, the more I fight against it. His mouth is like heaven, and the way he's sucking at my clit is sending me in a pleasure spiral. Using his fingers, he spreads me wide, licking his way inside me before replacing his tongue with two fingers, which he thrusts hard against my G-spot. This is so wrong, and I should really feel bad about letting Beau tongue fuck me in his dad's office. But the wrongness is what drives me to the crest of my pleasure. I ride his face for as long as I can before I finally lose control, clutching my thighs around his head. I come with a silent shudder, my body trembling, the need to express how good this feels.
He says, perfect. Now I have something delicious to remember on this day of my dad's wedding. They make plans to leave after they cut the cake, and they're both very excited.
They dip out of the party early and head to the club where Maggie sneaks Beau in through the back. When they walk in, Beau just stares at all the people fucking in the main room since it's open play night. They get to their designated room, and when they're alone, he tells her that was a lot and asks if that's how it's going to be in Phoenix. And she's like, sometimes, does that bug you? And he says, it's just a lot to get used to. They start to undress, and Beau makes a confession that he's never been in love before. He thought he was once, but it wasn't anything like this. He wants her to take his heart and do whatever she wants with it, which is kind of a dig at Charlie. He's like, I never actually loved Charlie.
He said, I didn't really like that bit.
She tells him that he has her heart too and orders him to get on the bed and get on all fours. She blindfolds him, shoving his shoulders down so his bare ass is up in the air. He tells her how bad he wants this, so she puts on her strap, and Beau is already rock hard. She puts some lube on the silicone cock, and she rubs some onto his butthole and tells him she wants him to come while they do this, so when she says the word, he's going to jerk off.
His face is still buried between his forearms, but he's looking more and more at peace, even as I'm slowly breaching his tight hole. When he does finally relax, letting me prep him properly with a second finger, I notice subtle moans emitting from his chest. His body begins to open up for me, and it's something that both chokes me up and turns me on. Of all things I want to do to him, this moment has to be the biggest. All of the desire and need I've felt for 3 months has led to this. She's choking up. She's gonna start crying.
This is so moving.
I'm so emotional.
She tells him he's a good boy as she starts to inch into him. She goes slowly at first until it seems like he's starting to get used to it.
After a while, I sense his hips moving back to meet my thrusts, so I pick up a little speed, pulling out more each time, striking at different angles. His groans get louder and his language gets more colorful, and I know the exact moment I find his prostate. Jesus, fuck me, God, Maggie, ugh. I'm not sure if that was a prayer or a request for more, but I take it as the latter. Grabbing on tight to his hips, I slam into him harder. Seeing the way his body reacts to the powerful thrusts makes my clit pulse and my thighs grow even more moist. You're taking me so well, Beau. You should see how good this looks, I say in a raspy tone. This is the hottest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. With each thrust, the strap between my legs rub against my clit, making me more and more keyed in and turned on. As much as I want to tear this thing off and ride his cock until I come, I am more interested in seeing this part through first because it's so, so good.
She asks if he's ready to come, and he says yes, but she tells him he's not allowed to yet, and she plows him hard and fast until she's at the edge too, and then she tells him it's time.
I watch with satisfaction as he paints the bed white, spraying his pleasure where I can see it. I'm buried to the hilt as he comes, and I love the way his body shudders against mine. Good boy, I mumble again and again. So, so good. It feels like it takes us both forever to catch our breaths. When he's finally emptied himself of his cum, I gently ease out of him, working to remove the strap on in a rush. Once it's unfastened, I toss it to the floor and focus on him. My hands run along the sweat-soaked planes of his back and the erratic cadence of his breathing. Talk to me. How are you? So fucking good, he replies breathlessly.
He collapses into her as she rubs his back and tells him she came too, and he's like, whoa, really? And she's like, yeah, that was really hot. She feeds him grapes and strawberries with a bottle of water, and he tells her how much he loved doing that with her, and she winds up falling asleep next to him while he watches her sleep. Bo decides to be a brat and sneak out to do some exploring. He winds up at the voyeur hall and does some perusing while people fuck behind the windows, and he's like, damn, this place is actually really cool, and now he's interested to see what Maggie turns the club in Phoenix into. He heads to the bar to grab a drink, but Maggie finds him and tells him to come with her because he's in so much trouble right now.
Naughty.
When they get back to the room, he tells her he wants to help her run the club when they get to Phoenix, and she's shocked and is like, if we do that, we have to tell everyone what's going on with us. And he's like, fuck it, let's tell them. And she's like, okay, let's do it. They decide to head back to her place, but in the parking lot, they're accosted by one of the guys who protests outside the club, and he's pissed, telling them how nasty they are, and tells Bo he knows exactly who he is and what he was doing in there. He starts shit-talking Emerson to them, saying that the town will be overrun with perverts soon because of them, and now Bo is like, shut up about my dad, asshole. But the guy whips out a crowbar and just smashes Bo with it before running away. Just Jesus. Whips him in the head with a crowbar. Yeah. Maggie freaks out and calls 911, and an ambulance shows up shortly after taking an unconscious Bo to the hospital. So he got fucked up.
Yeah. Jesus.
Maggie gets there shortly after Bo is admitted, and when she goes to the desk and asks to see him, the receptionist asks if she's family, and she's just like, he's mine. This is the part where I was like, shut the fuck up, Maggie.
That's my boy.
But then she corrects herself and is like, he's my boyfriend. They won't give her any updates and just tell her to wait in the waiting room, but the lady says she'll try and find out if he's okay and let her know. She calls Emerson to tell him what happened, and Emerson is understandably confused about why Bo was at the club and says he's on his way. Because as far as he knows, Bo fucking hates the club.
Yeah.
And it's the night of his fucking wedding.
Yeah, and Maggie's calling of all people.
Oh, let me guess. Emerson is gonna get pissed about them being together, huh?
You'll see.
Emerson, you have no room to talk.
Yeah. The lady from before tells her that Bo has been moved to triage for monitoring and that he's alive, but she still can't see him. Then Emerson shows up and is fuming and wants to know why the fuck Maggie and Bo were at the club together. And I just put hypocrite in my notes.
Yeah.
Because you literally took his girlfriend.
Yeah. Fuck off.
He tells her she's crossing a line fucking his son. And she's like, you literally fucked his ex-girlfriend and then married her. And he's like, yeah, but you knew him as a kid. And she's like, he's not a kid anymore. And you know that. They're both gross for this conversation.
Yes, it's a weird conversation.
He asks if it's serious, and she says yes, and he's moving to Phoenix with her.
What?
They sit in silence while Emerson tries to figure out what the fuck is going on, and then the doctor comes out and tells them that Bo is stable, and he can have one visitor, and for some reason, Maggie is like, me, he's mine, over his dad, and Emerson says okay.
Okay.
Yeah. She goes into the room, and Bo is relieved to see that she didn't get whacked with the crowbar, too, because he passed out immediately. He had no idea what happened with Maggie. She tells him that his dad is here and that he knows and that he's pissed, but he's like, he literally married my ex-girlfriend, so he'll get over it.
He's like, I don't fucking care.
No. The nurse comes in and says visiting hours are over and Maggie needs to leave. And I put in parentheses, which means his dad never got to see him. Maggie took the entire visit.
What the fuck?
And as she walks out of the room, he tells her he loves her. She says it back and leaves as the nurses shoo her away. And she's like trying to boss the nurses around and stuff. Like, it's a...
Maggie.
The next day, he gets to make peace with Emerson and breaks the news to his mom that he's moving to Phoenix with Maggie, and he feels way better getting all of it off his chest. A few days later, he gets out of the hospital, and the guy who attacked him was arrested after turning himself in. A few days later, while they're packing up Maggie's place to move, she gives him a present, a black leather collar, as a symbol of commitment.
cute.
He gets on his knees and she puts it on him, and then she rewards him with a little BJ, but not to completion. She tells him to get on the bed and she grinds herself on him.
His cock looks painfully hard as I crawl up his body, settling my weight against his stiff length. Grinding myself against him, I notice his hands aching to move. "I want to touch you so bad," he whines. Leaning over him, I press my mouth to his ear as I whisper, "But you've been bad, and bad boys don't get what they want." He groans in response. I soak his cock with my arousal, rubbing myself all over him until I feel my body starting to reach the peak. Lifting my hips up slightly, I dock him at my entrance and pause there, just as he closes his eyes. "Open them, Bo." His eyes shoot open as I start to lower my hips, pulling him into my body. His brows fold upward with a delight as I swallow him to the hilt. God, I miss this.
She commands him to come, and he does, just as she reaches her own orgasm. A few days pass, and it's moving day. They say their goodbyes to everyone and head off down the road. And now we're in the epilogue. It's a year later, and the Phoenix Club is doing super well thanks to Bo and Maggie. Bo sends Maggie a naughty video during a work meeting, which he must be punished for during their date night tonight. Maggie walks into their reserved room at the club, and Bo is kneeling and ready for her.
I raise my foot and press the sharp stiletto heel against his shoulder. He slowly falls backward until he's lying on the floor, staring up at me with a devilish grin. He looks like a brat right now, and I fucking love it. I press my heel down a little harder until he winces, finally giving up that smug look on his face. "What did you do wrong, baby?" "I sent you a video during the meeting." "A video of what?" He smiles again, so I press down harder, careful not to let my weight settle too hard on the foot currently in position to puncture his pecs. "Me in the shower, stroking my dick for you. Why did you send me that video?" When he smiles again, I move my foot from his shoulder to his throat, now being vigilant to balance carefully. His smile fades quickly. "Because I want your attention on me." "Hmm," I reply. "I think you did it because you're a filthy slut. Is that it?" His mouth twitches. "Yes, ma'am."
Yeah, he's just a slutty little
you
boy.
Filthy slut.
I cannot imagine calling a man a slut. You're just a slut.
You're a little slut. She commands him to get up and go over to the St. Andrew's cross so she can restrain him to it and give him his lashings.
He takes the 12 paddle slaps in 6 rounds with the flogger extremely well. He's shivering, sweaty, and beet red by the time I uncuff him. His cock is leaking at the tip as I guide him by his collar to the bed, where I make him sit and then climb over him, kissing his mouth as I straddle his lap. "Remind me again what you are," I whisper against his lips. "A filthy slut," he replies as I lower myself over his hard length. He slides in with a groan, and I feel a shiver run through me when I have him as deep as he can go. "My filthy slut," I reply before kissing him. Our cries and groans echo through the room, and I know he has an extra sting of pain on his backside as I grind him into the bed, riding his cock until I come with a scream. "Please, ma'am," he gasps when he feels my body constricting around him. "Can I please come?" "Yes," I reply, grabbing his face in a fierce kiss. "You can come, Bo." On command, he shudders inside me, grunting through his orgasm. "Good boy," I whisper against his temple as he gasps for air, coming down from his climax.
She takes his collar off and they cuddle in bed, where she tells him she loves him and he is hers forever. The end.
Wow.
Dirty little slut. He's such a dirty little slut.
So, Riley, how many red pepper emojis do you give this one?
I will say I agree that it's like my least favorite out of all of the ones we've done so far. I think I give it like a 3.75.
Okay.
Like, I liked it, but I don't know. The other ones were hotter to me.
Do you think Bo is sexy?
No.
No.
No. I don't know. There's just something about him. No. Nope.
I feel like he wasn't even a brat.
No, he's just a dick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jenna's like, I would know. I'm 91% brat.
94. Yeah. Get it right.
Would you trade places with Maggie?
No, not this time.
And next week, we're telling Riley all about An Inheritance of Monsters by Kate Corvin, and we're going to have her look at the cover and give us her best guess on what it might be about.
Well, it's like a girl, and she looks like she's like falling down this like cave thing with like monster claws coming out. I think this girl is going to be like part monster or something. Her family's going to have a long lost bloodline of monsters, something. And then a family member's gonna die. I don't know. And then she is going to inherit something. Some type of plot of land, possibly a something of sort that is monster related. And then she's going to go there. Maybe a town. I don't know. And then she's going to go there and she's going to fall in love with a monster.
What kind of monster?
Give me a list of monsters. I don't know.
A vampire, a werewolf, a kraken, a fae, a golem.
A centaur, a kelpie.
A ghoul.
A ghoul?
Was I close at all?
Sprinkles.
You were pretty close.
Wow.
I mean, you didn't like get it, but you were pretty close.
Okay. Fair enough.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at Smut Up and Listen Podcast and on TikTok at Smut Up and Listen.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at Smut Up and Listen Podcast and on TikTok at Smut Up and Listen.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.